You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down to Earth.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the Earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program. So glad you could join us today for this hump day. We've got all sorts of cannabis-friendly information for you today. We'll start things off with the cannabis headline news. That's right coming up in, just 2 minutes. But also, we want to remind you on today's show, we've got a highlight clip from the Veterans Cannabis Group. You ought to check them out at veteranscannabisgroup.com. They host a regular bi-monthly conference call that you can get in on and learn all the latest information and contribute your own comments and questions through veteranscannabisgroup.com. It's absolutely free, so make sure you check that out. Also coming up on the show today, I've got time for a radical rant inspired by our friend Jacob Sullum, a writer out at reason.com, on the conundrum posed by not just Las Vegas and Nevada, but all the legalized states where you can buy marijuana, you can possess marijuana, but there's nowhere for you to legally use marijuana. We'll talk about that in the rant. Also, want to thank some of our latest patrons to join up with us here on the Marijuana Agenda. If you go to mjagenda.com, you'll find a button there that says Become a Patron, and you can join up for just as little as $4.20 a month. That's just 21 cents per episode to help me keep doing this full time. You don't know how much research and writing and analysis it takes me to put this show together every day, editing and posting and all that good stuff. And I love to do it, but I can't do it without your help. So thanks to all of you who've signed on so far for at least $4.20 a month. And, you know, it's not for nothing. You get some benefits for that $4.20. If you go to mjagenda.com, you get downloads of all of these segments ad free. So you can just get one segment, share it with your friends, download it for yourself, listen to it. If you don't have a whole lot of time to listen to the whole podcast, you can get just what you want. It also helps me keep the cannabis headline news absolutely free for people on the mjagenda.com website. So please help out if you can. Become a patron. Visit mjagenda.com and click on the Become a Patron button. 21 cents an episode, just $4.20 a month. All right, let's get to the news.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Wednesday, August 9th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. Marijuana Moment highlights some statements made by Donald Trump that echo the hardline anti-drug stance taken by his embattled Attorney General Jeff Sessions. During remarks about opioid issues, President Trump criticized a previous decline in drug prosecutions, saying, quote, "At the end of 2016, there were 23% fewer federal prosecutions than in 2011. So they looked at this surge and they let it go by. We're not letting it go by. The average sentence for a drug offender decreased 20% from 2009 to 2016. During my campaign, I promised to fight this battle because as President of the United States, my greatest responsibility is to protect the American people and to ensure their safety. Especially in some parts of our country, it is horrible." End quote. Trump also said, quote, "We're also working with law enforcement officers to protect innocent citizens from drug dealers that poison our communities. Strong law enforcement is absolutely vital to having a drug-free society," end quote. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson paid a visit to Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte to offer U.S. assistance in combating the Philippine drug war if Duterte agrees to put an end to the brutal extrajudicial killings of drug dealers and consumers that he has encouraged and even bragged about committing himself. ABC News reports that Secretary Tillerson told Duterte, quote, "Mr. President, we are all aware of the American people's criticism of you and your handling of drug cartels," end quote. Hours later, Duterte dismissed the criticism of his human rights record regarding the drug war and his crackdown on ISIS-affiliated rebels on the southern island of Mindanao. Quote, human rights, son of a bitch. Policemen and soldiers have died on me, he told reporters from ABC News at a press conference. Human rights, you go there and you might have a bomb dropped on your head, end quote. Tillerson defended the Trump administration's relationship with Duterte, telling ABC, quote, I see no conflict at all in our helping them with that ISIS situation and our views of the human rights concerns we have with respect to how they carry out their counter-narcotics activities, end quote. Researchers at the Albert Einstein School of Medicine at Yeshiva University have announced that they have received a five-year, $3.8 million grant awarded by the National Institutes of Health to study the effect of medical marijuana on chronic pain patients' use of opiates, especially patients living with HIV. Dr. Chinazo Cunningham, Associate Chief of General Internal Medicine at Einstein, will enroll 250 HIV-positive and HIV-negative adults with chronic pain who use opioids and who have received certification from their physicians to use medical marijuana, which is provided through approved dispensaries in New York State. Over 18 months, the study subjects will complete web-based questionnaires every 2 weeks, which will focus on pain levels and the medical and illicit use of marijuana and opioids. They'll also provide urine and blood samples at in-person research visits every 3 months. In addition, in-depth interviews with a select group of these participants will explore their perceptions of how medical marijuana use affects the use of opioids. Maine's Governor Paul LePage, a vocal opponent of medical and recreational legalization, excoriated his state's legislature for passing a bill that raises the legal age for cigarettes to 21. Quote, quite simply, you are hypocrites, LePage writes. You agree to try them as adults in a court of law. You ask them to vote for you in our elections. You make them pay taxes. You say they can get married and make medical decisions for themselves. And you allow them to smoke medical marijuana. But now you say they cannot decide for themselves whether they want to buy cigarettes? If you don't believe 18-year-olds are adults who can make their own decisions, then I hope you will support legislation that increases the voting age to 21 and prevents military service until a person turns 21. End quote. For the record, any attempt to raise Maine's voting age to 21 would run afoul of the 26th Amendment to the Constitution. 69-year-old Oscar winner Kathy Bates is starring in a new series for Netflix called Disjointed, about a marijuana activist turned medical marijuana dispensary owner. In a story by AARP, the Organization for Seniors, Bates reveals her own medical use of cannabis, saying it, quote, helped tremendously, end quote, in easing nausea and pain as she battled breast and ovarian cancer. Netflix has ordered 20 episodes of the workplace comedy. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, August 9th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. If you appreciate my full-time dedication to reporting and analyzing the news about cannabis, consider becoming a patron of the show. For just $4.20 per month, you'll help keep my live stream and podcast free while earning yourself your own private ad-free podcast link for the show, as well as links to the supporting articles and data. For a $9.99 VIP subscription, you'll get all that plus my exclusive research, data tables, and graphics. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button today.
You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I reject the idea that we're going to be better placed if we have more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
America's veterans serve their country to preserve, protect, and defend our Constitution. When they return home, their country should honor its promise to provide them with the best medical care. But veterans who seek to treat the mental and physical wounds they received in the military are denied access to medical cannabis, even in the states that have legalized medical use. Learn more from the Veterans Cannabis Group in this episode of Veterans of Compassion.
Today we have myself, Aaron Augustus. I'm hosting the call. I'll be the narrator and just kind of making sure things move along here. We've got Michael Krawitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access joining us from Virginia. And we've got Patrick Seifert from 22 Too Many from Olympia, Washington. And then we've got Jeff Staker from Hoosier Veterans for Medical Cannabis in Indiana. We also have Ryan Miller on the line, I believe, from Operation EVAC in San Francisco Bay Area. So some of the things that we want to get started with, and I have the agenda here. We don't have to go in any particular order, but I know a big topic right now is the Veterans Equal Access Amendment and what has been going on there. And so Michael Krawitz has, we talked yesterday, he's going to go ahead and give us kind of a background outline of how of where the amendment is and how it got to where it is right now. Michael, could you go ahead and tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Trying to think of where to start. I think the best place to start would be even before the Veterans Equal Access Amendment was put in, just to let everybody know that this flows from the guidance of the General Counsel of the VA, where they had spoken with the DEA back in like 2007, something like that, in answer to a bunch of questions from a bunch of VA officials who were working in states that had approved medical marijuana, and they wanted to hear, you know, what the general counsel said, you know, the legalistics of it. And the DEA at that time, if you remember, was threatening doctors. They had gone out, General McCaffrey went out to California and, you know, called the doctors out there Cheech and Chong medicine, and he was going to shut them down. And a doctor's group working with the ACLU sued them proactively and won. It's called the Conant versus McCaffrey, later Conant versus Walters case. And that established the right, you know, it really it didn't establish it. I mean, it made it very clear to everyone that doctors did have the right to recommend cannabis. And a little point, you know, that cannabis in the many states where it's legal for medical marijuana under state law, the doctors do not prescribe cannabis. They can't take out a DEA-controlled prescription pad and write cannabis on it without the DEA's permission first. But they can recommend it, and that recommendation, even the documentation associated with it and the forms to fill out to get you you know, into a state medical marijuana program is all considered to be free speech. And we decided to, you know, to fight for that, you know, rather than trying to fight for the doctors, because we really didn't know any doctors in 2007 or 8 that wanted to fight. In fact, to this day, we haven't met any doctors that really wanted to fight inside the system. But on their behalf, we wanted to make sure everybody understood that here was a crazy instance where the VA doctors lack of free speech. And you have to realize federal government officials lack free speech. You have to realize that generally they don't have the same free speech as a federal employee. That's a little thing that most people don't know. In this case, it was the first one that I've ever seen where that free speech came up as a problem for VA doctors. We established it, really went out there, mostly educating people about that, you know, recommendation versus prescription and the whole nuanced thing about the Conant case and all that, the free speech aspect of it. And we were pretty successful. We got the attention of Congress a few years back. They passed into a bill. This notion became the Veterans Equal Access Amendment, and essentially what it does is it shows the VA that indeed the Congress feels that the law is that they do have this free speech, and they do have this right to recommend cannabis. They do have this ability to fill out forms, and the way that we've found to do that is in a budgetary bill. And the budgetary bill process is really confusing as well, because you have to get it into the House, you have to get it into the Senate side, and then you have to get it through the final budget process and signed by the President. So it's like as many as 8 different votes we've had in a year, and we've won a lot of them, and really confused the hell out of people. Just to make it that much worse, last year we really did succeed. We actually won in the House and the Senate. It went to a conference committee, and the blasted handful of congressmen in that conference committee stripped it from the final bill. So again, all this is doing is making it clear to the VA, because there was never that Conant case. It was a West Coast case. The Supreme Court never accepted it. There was never a federal case or a federal guidance to tell the VA that indeed that threat from the 2007 or whatever was not valid, and that they didn't face arrest for recommending cannabis. The war has never been kind of ended inside the VA. So that's the whole point of this bill. Now, more recently, we've run into even a greater craziness because this process by which the congressmen really have found the ability to control and to, you know, use their authority to, in the checks and balances of our government appropriately to, you know, rein in the DEA, you know, change behavior, change federal law. They've been our side, our people that have been trying to do this in Congress, our congressmen that we're working with, have been thwarted at even getting a bill on the floor. The leadership is all real hardcore drug warriors. They just won't let you even have a vote. And this budgetary process has been one of the only games in town to get anything done in terms of policy. It's what's protected us in the medical marijuana states with the you know, the Hinckley-Rohrabacher amendment, which did just pass and did just go, you know, all the way by the Senate. So we're really happy about that. Hopefully that'll, you know, give us some additional protection and keep this ball rolling in that court. But as far as this Veterans Equal Access Amendment goes, the Rules Committee actually changed the rules on the bloody amendments and made it impossible for the House to even have our amendment, our Veterans Equal Access Amendment, even put into the process. So we did get a Senate vote. We got a successful Senate vote, but we're not going to even be able to get the amendment into the process. They blocked all those kind of amendments. A handful of amendments like that were blocked, not just ours. And it's really shitty. It's really something I think is, portrays a much bigger problems that they've got in the House in terms of trying to fight with each other over turf and over control. And it's, you know, really, I think, pretty clearly cutting off a channel that these congressmen have figured out to get things done. But we have this Senate bill, and it's actually, I think, now going to, you know, go back to that conference committee. The conference committee, I think, is going to be a different composition. And we put a lot of pressure on them over the last year, not real, you know, straightforward cutting-edge pressure, but we did put a lot of pressure on them, and it is actually possible that this conference committee with just a one House bill and no Senate side might actually still put it in the final bill that gets signed by the president. So we might actually win this thing, even though we've been, you know, essentially hobbled. But I think that's the rundown of it. If any of it was completely confusing, let me know, and I'll let you explain it.
And unfortunately, we have to go through this each year. Which is
We have to go through this each year to try to get it passed. But this particular effort, once we get it passed, will change VA policy permanently.
This current year,
if we get it passed and we get it through the final budget vote, there's no money involved. It's actually a policy change, and we're changing, mm-hmm. you know, congressional U.S. federal law policy and making it clear to the VA this is the new policy. The VA, I believe, is sitting on a medical marijuana policy waiting for this to pass because they're just afraid. They, without any real clear guidance, they don't have any ideological position here. I don't think they're ideologically against the doctors inside the VA filling out these forms. They are honestly scared that, you know, without guidance, you know, they are right down the hall from the DEA, you know?
Right. So what's the next I mean, what's the next step for the Veterans Equal Access Amendment?
I mean, back to the conference committee. As soon as we can identify the conference committee and try to get them to, you know, vote it in and keep it in. And it wouldn't hurt for us to go after some of these folks in the Rules Committee and try to, you know, go to the bottom of that rabbit hole as well, like Al Burns, name them and shame them kind of idea.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I was told by the DART Task Force in Toledo that they're actually sprinkling fentanyl on marijuana now.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill. That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to legalize.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
We're going to revisit a conversation that we've had before on this show, but it was recently inspired again by a column by our good friend Jacob Sullum out at Reason.com entitled Las Vegas Welcomes Marijuana Buyers, But Not Marijuana Consumers. And it addresses the point about public consumption. This has vexed all of the states that have passed the legal right to use cannabis for adults 21 and over, starting in Colorado and Washington in 2012, Oregon and Alaska in 2014, and now the four other states, Maine, Massachusetts, California, and especially Nevada, that passed in 2016. We've got eight states now where people are legally allowed at the age of 21 and older to possess and consume cannabis at home in private, with the curtains closed and where nobody can possibly see you. Problem is, not everybody 21 and older owns a property where they can smoke marijuana. So we've got a right here that is granted to all adults, but only the ones rich enough or lucky enough to live somewhere where they can consume it can actually take advantage of that right. And this becomes acutely problematic in the city of Las Vegas. Las Vegas has two dozen businesses now that are selling marijuana to all adults 21 and older, but there's absolutely no place where anybody can use it except their own private residence. This is a city that's got 40 million tourists a year. 40 million people coming in to gamble, so you assume they're 21 and older already, and they're going to be lured to these pot shops, especially if they're coming from states where they don't have legal marijuana. Trust me, as an Airbnb host, that's one of the main things people are looking for when they spend money and they travel to one of these legal states. This is basically a form of entrapment, if you ask me, to give people a right and then make it illegal for them to exercise that right. And I don't mean just a ticket. In the rest of the legal states, you get a ticket for public consumption. But in Nevada, under their question two, it's a misdemeanor with a possible $600 fine to consume marijuana in a public place. $600 fine. So you got a situation where people who are tourists, they can't light up in the hotel. You can't light up out on the strip. You can't light up outside anywhere. And there are no clubs where they can go light up. So what's going to happen? Some of them are going to take the risk. They're going to sneak behind an alley. They're going to hide around a corner, maybe around the bushes, and they're going to try to smoke pot. And a lot of them are going to get busted, and a lot of them are going to get upset about that. This is a form of entrapment to give people a right, but then give them no possible way to be able to exercise it. It reminds me a bit of the early, the late 19th century, when we finally granted the right to vote for African Americans, the formerly enslaved Africans, and then we set up poll taxes and literacy tests and all sorts of ways that prevented them from exercising that right. It's just unfair and it's immoral, if you ask me. Now, there are some considerations here. They are considering that maybe they could do private clubs in some sort, but
every place that's tried to do this private club idea, we're just a private club. You pay a membership to get in, maybe just a day membership, $5, $10 at the door, and then you can come in, bring your own weed in, and then smoke in that establishment. But what a lot of entrepreneurs have found out is when they open these kind of clubs, the cops take a real dim view on it, and the prosecutors start looking at what public space means. Like, you can't use it in public. Well, what does public mean? And generally, they take the most conservative attitude they can, which is a public place is any place where members of the public can go. And so they bust these clubs that have these private memberships saying, aha, but you're letting anyone get a membership. So it's essentially no difference than having a public club. Now, another loophole they're looking at are parked limos and buses, little party buses, because question two bans marijuana use in a moving vehicle. That doesn't say anything about a stationary vehicle. So you might have this loophole where, since they didn't specifically ban stationary vehicle smoking, and since a stationary vehicle is a private place, so long as the curtains are drawn and so all of that, that might be the solution. So I can imagine, this almost sounds like the loophole they used in the Midwest when they first wanted to get casinos. They made them riverboat casinos, right? Okay, we're not going to allow gambling on land, but you can, if you're on a river, if you're on a riverboat, we'll let you gamble. And then what that turned into is these boats, if you want to call them that, that are permanently moored. They might as well be permanent structures sitting there that just happen to have their foundation over water. And that makes it okay to gamble there, right? So we might get the same sort of loophole kind of interpretation in Nevada, where I can imagine those big, you know, like tour buses that you see, like the rock stars have a big old tour bus or an RV. Imagine those being parked in a parking lot somewhere. Right? It's not a building. It's not a public place. It's a private car. It'd be like Portland's food carts, right? We'll have Las Vegas pot carts all over the place. The obvious solution here is to come up with a law, a program that allows the use of marijuana at bars, at some sort of lounge, public consumption. Now, they have this written into the Maine law. There will be lounges eventually in Maine. Massachusetts and California have said, well, the legislature, if they want to get around to that, they can. In Oregon, they've made it banned by the Clean Air Act, but they're trying to work around that. Washington State's made it a felony to run a pot club, even inadvertently. If you accidentally run a pot club, you can get a felony charge. Colorado's still working around it. Denver passed that Initiative 300. They're still working on trying to get that implemented. And in Alaska, the Anchorage City Council has made a recommendation that there should be allowed consumption at some of the dispensaries. So it's moving forward, but every month we delay on this, there's people getting busted for their public consumption that don't need to get busted. And they spoke to Jacob in his piece, spoke to one of the entrepreneurs that's running a dispensary out there, Essence Cannabis Dispensary. And he points out that this is, you know, 70 to 80% of the people coming into his dispensary are tourists. So they got no place to go to be able to use this product. And as the owner states, the law here essentially says that what tourists buy in Vegas, they can't use in Vegas. There's no other industry in the world where you can buy a product and then not use it anywhere. And I thought about this a bit. I kind of quizzed myself. Could you think of any other product where it's legal to buy it, but there's no place where you can use it except your home? And my first thought was dildos. My first thought was, yeah, you can walk into a store in Vegas and buy a dildo, but you can't actually use it in public. You can't. And then I realized, wait a minute, you can. There are all sorts of sex clubs in Las Vegas. There's all sorts of places where members of the public can go and use these sex toys with each other. And then I thought, guns. Well, you can't. You can buy a gun in Nevada, but you can't. But actually, you can. You can open carry in Nevada. And there's all sorts of shooting ranges where the public can go to and shoot their guns up for fun. Only marijuana is a product that you can legally buy. And there's absolutely no place you can legally use it in public.
Follow Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
Well, folks, that's all the time we got for today. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.